Take a moment to look at the front of your bulletin. Are any of you familiar with this particular artist, M.C. Escher? I almost said M.C. Hammer. I cannot believe that almost came out of my mouth. So go M.C. Hammer. Don't hurt him. Don't look at your phones right now. But on the way home, perhaps, if you're a passenger or, you know, when you're home, take a moment to look at some of Escher's work. He was a phenomenal artist, Dutch, basically in the 20th century. I was telling Diana and Pat, he died in 1972. I had it in my mind that he was much older than that. He is known for creating worlds that aren't quite right. There are, one of them that is the most famous is a picture of a hand drawing a picture of a hand. And you look at it and you can't tell which hand is real and which hand is the drawing. And in this particular one, you have soldiers ascending and descending. And then when you really look at it, you realize there are no doors. Escher has a way of turning the world kind of on its ear. Sometimes suspending the laws of gravity and things like that. And there's a reason. Pastor just doesn't make these things up. There's a reason why we're using that this morning. Because this week and next, we will be looking at a passage in Luke that in Matthew is in fact called the Beatitudes. It's not always called the Beatitudes in Luke, and I'm not 100% sure why. Because the concept of beatitude is just simply a set of blessings. Beati is from the Latin, which is Latin for blessed. The beatitude is part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, and this is called the Sermon on the Plain because it says that Jesus came down and stood on a level place to preach. I'm not sure if the geography, sometimes the geography has something to do with things, sometimes it doesn't. But he does mention, Luke does mention in the passage we're getting ready to look at that there were a multitude of people from Judea, Jerusalem, and Tyre and Sidon, which is another way of saying there were not only traditionally Jewish people there, but there were Gentile people as well. So he has a pretty wide audience in front of him. He's called the disciples. We had that happen last week. So if you would join me, either looking in your pew Bible, or if you have your Bible on your phone, or even if you have one with you, although this is the Disciples of Christ Church, and that usually doesn't happen. But together, let us listen for a word from God from the 6th chapter of Luke. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They'd come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you've received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that's what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The word of the Lord. Okay, I'm dating myself by mentioning this name. Quick show of hands. Fred Astaire. Anybody? Oh, a few people. Fred Astaire was a dancer who was absolutely at the top of his game in the movies of the 30s, maybe up until the 60s. And if you don't know who he is, when you look at Escher, you can YouTube him. But even those of you who don't know him might know this little clip from a movie. Fred's in a tails tux shirt. He's happy. He has fallen in love. And he starts dancing. And suddenly the room starts changing and he is able to dance up a wall and ends up dancing on the ceiling. So does Lionel Richie, I'm aware of that, but the Astaire video works better. The reality is, of course, he's not really dancing on the ceiling. He's not really turned upside down. The camera is stable. Fred is stable. But the box that the room is built in turns. And so the world turns upside down, but Fred is solid. Well, that's the opposite of what Jesus is trying to get across this morning. What Jesus is doing here is asking the crowd to stand on their heads, to turn the known world upside down so that who was fighting to get up from the bottom of the heap are suddenly closest to heaven, while those who thought they were on top of things find themselves flat on their back, looking up. Now, Beatitudes were not new. That was a formula. That was a common way of talking in those days, and not just in religious circles. The Benjamin Franklins of that day and time also talked that way. They were everyday sayings about the good life, listing virtues that anyone would have been pleased to have. Blessed are those who save pennies, for when they are old, they will be rich. Blessed are those who listen to the wise, for when they are old, they will have wisdom to disperse, that kind of thing. Another word for blessed in this formula is happy. So when Jesus starts this form, no one's particularly surprised by how he's saying it. It's what he's saying that throws a kink in things. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those who weep. Who is he kidding? What's happy about being hated or reviled? No one with a lick of sense was going to vote for any of those definitions of the good life, but of course, Jesus never asked for anyone's approval. He just completely redefined the good life in five sentences and held them out for everyone to see. People who were previously known as victims, dreamers, pushovers, and fools are suddenly the chosen ones, he says. The blessed ones who shall see God face to face. These are the happy ones. These are the lucky ones, the ones who shall be satisfied. Not because they got an advanced copy of the rules and played by them to win, but because winning was the furthest thing from their mind. That's a list of losers. Make no mistake about it. The ones who can't pull themselves up by their own bootstraps because they don't have boots. The ones who sit alone in the cafeteria. The ones who are told they can't come to church because of who they love. The ones who, like Kathy Culbertson mentioned a few weeks ago from the table, are never chosen first to play volleyball. These are God's favorite, Jesus insists. Not the effective, successful people in the world, but the ones who can't even compete, who would not know success if it walked up and handed them a trophy. And these people would probably take the trophy and immediately try to hand it to someone else because they knew there'd been a mistake made. Kurt Vonnegut, who is not maybe someone I quote with regularity from the pulpit said not too terribly long ago that vocal Christians, sometimes with tears in their eyes, insist upon putting the Ten Commandments in all public buildings. But he says, not anybody ever asks to put the Beatitudes in those same buildings. I think he has a point, because most of us don't know what to do with these. Some of us have heard them for so long, they've lost their shock value. They just sound kind of sweet and familiar to us, kind of like something you might needlepoint and put over a piano in an old Sunday school room no one uses anymore. Others of us hear them like new commandments and worry that we aren't hungry or persecuted enough. But please note, there are no shoulds or oughts here. There are no shouts or shout nots. The language of the Beatitudes, stick with me, is not transactional language. You know what transactional language is. Do this, and you shall receive that. Do that, and you shall receive the other. This is not transactional language. This is descriptive language. In other words, he is saying, this is who these people are now, and this is what the future holds for them. It is not the language of commandment. It is the language of gospel, the language of hope and promise, that the way things are now is not the way things will always be, and that those who find themselves at the back of the bus will be sitting in first class before the trip's over. I preach lectionary, which means around the world, the same gospel is being preached. In a cinder block church in Kenya, where people sit cross-legged on a packed dirt floor while carpenter bees fly in and out of open windows. In a shack on stilts in the wetlands of El Salvador, where the majority of those present must listen hard because they cannot read. I got those two examples from our week of compassion literature. It's always important to remember we are not the only ones hearing this. Because much of the power of the Beatitudes depends on where you're sitting when you hear them. I'm going to say that again. Much of the power of the Beatitudes depends on where you are sitting when you hear them. They sound different from on top than they do from underneath. They sound different up front than they do in the back. And up front with the religiously satisfied and self-assured, they sound pretty confrontational. Where is your hunger, you well-fed Christians? Where is your spiritual poverty? Why aren't your handkerchiefs soaked with tears? But church way in the back, where the victims, the dreamers, the pushovers, and the fools sit, it sounds completely different. Shh, they say. Dry your tears. The whole earth belongs to you, though somebody else still holds the keys. But it won't be long now. Heaven's gates are opening wide for you, and the first face you will see is the face of God. Now, they're the same words in every place. Of course, it's the ears that change. Each of us hearing Jesus' description of the good life through our own filters, either as something foreign or familiar. Let's be blunt. As something to be sought or something to be ignored. I guess you can do anything you want to with the Beatitudes. People always have. Some have just ignored them. Some have admired them and walked away. Some have used them as a yardstick to measure their own blessedness. And some have used them to declare a revolution. The simplest thing to do with them, perhaps, is to let them stand you on your head, so that you cannot see the world in the same way anymore, so that you can't be sure anymore who are the winners and who are the losers. I think it's significant that this passage is being preached during Week of Compassion, and I'm also aware that I am talking to entitled people who still know in their souls that they are fools and victims and dreamers, even if nobody else knows it. When we say we have to give up the sin of judging, that means we have to give up the sin of judging. But when we are upside down, we begin to see God's blessed ones in places it never would have occurred for us to look. We begin to see that the poor, the ones who weep, the ones who are hated and excluded, are not just the people we can help, but people who can help us if we will let them. And that their hunger for God is not a void to be filled, but an appetite to be envied. In this Week of Compassion, we have to throw away the concept of charity. What a condescending term that can be. We are hungry people telling other hungry people where to get bread. Upside down, we begin to see that the ones bruised for their faith are not the sad ones, but the happy ones, because they found something worth being bruised for. The world can look funny upside down. But maybe that's just how it looks when your feet are planted in heaven. Jesus did it all the time, and it seemed to him that we could do it too. So, here's another beatitude for this morning. Blessed are those who stand on their heads, for they shall see the world as God sees it. They shall also find themselves in good company, because they have been turned upside down by the only one who really knows which way is up.